Women have been significantly underrepresented among the investment decision makers at private equity and venture capital firms. If you were amazed, let me tell you that the situation at the companies who received funding from these firms are no better. According to a 2019 report issued by IFC, done in participation with management consulting Oliver Wyman and global investment management firm Rock Creek, women held only 10% of all senior positions in private equity and venture capital firms globally. The India numbers were at an abysmal 7%. Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Priyanka Sahai and you are tuned into this very special episode of Setting Sail on the occasion of International Women's Day. Let me quickly introduce you to the stellar panel that I have with me today, which will give you a deeper perspective on how things are on ground as we speak. Please welcome Nupur Garg, founder of WinPee, a not-for-profit initiative to enhance gender diversity in the investment ecosystem. Before starting this venture, Nupur spent over a decade and a half in IFC, with her last role being regional head of South Asia. We have Anisha Singh, founding partner of She Capital, who's an entrepreneur turned investor. Before starting the investment firm, Singh started off with merchant marketing platform MyDala. We also have with us Alka Goyal, founding partner of Alchemy Venture Partners. She is a former McKinsey partner and is currently running this healthcare-focused fund in India. Last but not the least, we have with us Sushma Kaushik, partner at Avishkar Capital. With over 15 years of experience in the investment ecosystem, Sushma believes that Avishkar is not in the business of investing, but in the business of exits. Now, that's a strong statement from a woman who means business. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for taking time out for us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks, Priyanka, for having us.
So, Nupur, let me begin by asking you. The IFC report talks about a situation which was there about 3 to 4 years old. Even though we do not see a lot of developments that would have happened in the sector, do you think much has changed? And give us an India-centric perspective.
Thank you, Priyanka. I think that is an important question and a question that we need to keep asking ourselves every year to start tracking progress and action taken. So the report was published in 2019. So if we just look about awareness and the information that it created, it's not been 2 years yet.
But the data collected is what I believe of till 2017.
Yes, that's right. That's right. But, you know, one of the more important things that this report did, one of the greater impacts that this report had, was it brought data forward to a discussion that was so far theoretical. So while we have had a number of reports, say from McKinsey and Bain, et cetera, which talk about financial benefits accruing from gender diversity, there really was very little data around how that affected the investment industry. With this report in 2019, for the first time, there was data-based evidence that gender diversity was directly and positively correlated to financial performance. So I would say that in 2019, this report was almost like a landmark in creating a significant level of awareness and buzz. Now, in terms of what's happening in India at WinPee, WinPee is a year old now. We've seen a huge amount of progress just in the level of commitment to solving the gender diversity challenges. And, you know, this is one of those things that will resolve over a longer period of time. It is not a problem that we can fix in 6 months or in 2 years for that matter. But I think the movement has already started.
All right. But do we have any estimate of the number of women partners that are across at least the top 20 venture capital funds in India right now?
So, you know, Priyanka, one of my favorite anecdotes and one of the things that played in my mind when I set up WinPee was this, that in 2011, I went on India-wide BD trip, meeting all fund managers. And, fast forward to today, I really don't see women fund managers being added to the industry. You know, we have right. Anisha here who set up her own fund in the interim. We have Alka here who moved to India to set up her own fund. But Sushma was already in the industry. You know, Nitya Iswaran got added to multiples. But really in a decade, there really hasn't been a significant movement as far as women participation right at the GP and the partner level is concerned.
Right, right. Alka, you're running your own fund. You're currently running Alchemy. And there's so much of issues that are there in the venture capital ecosystem. Why don't you tell us if you've ever faced a discrimination while you've gone to the LPs asking them to participate in your next fundraise or for any other pitch sessions? Has there been any discrimination?
Honestly, I mean, just to build on what Nupur said, and I'll come to your question after that, I do see positive progress. Just the fact that we were able to get three women investors on this panel is testimony to the fact that things are moving. Nupur also said it will take some time, right? You've got to start with the funnel. Now, more and more, I mean, we've spoken to almost 150 funds over the last year and a half. And many of them have women analysts, associates, VPs. It'll take some time for them to get to the GP and partner level, but I am very positive about the future. In terms of issues, I honestly don't put my gender front. I put my capabilities and credentials up front. I've been through my life, starting from the Educational Institute of IMA or McKinsey, where 10% of women partners existed, right? Or 10% of women, at least in my time, 10% of the students were women. So I've been very used to the environment and I talk with my capabilities and credentials up front. I have never faced an obvious discrimination. I don't know behind the scenes, but to my face, people believe in my capabilities, which is why I started. And the way I like to think about it is, look, the situation is as is, me being a woman. I can play to my strength or I can position it as a weakness. Anything we do gets amplified, good or bad, and I tend to focus on the good. So that's my philosophy. I personally haven't had a situation where, at least on the face of it, I have felt discriminated against.
All right. Nupur has been an LP. Nupur, would you like to add to that?
I think there are a couple of things from an LP's point of view. One is, consciously, I don't think LPs discriminate, but we all have to acknowledge that an unconscious bias exists. But if we keep that aside, I think the things that I see happening is that because the industry in itself does not have a deep funnel of senior women investors, frequently the women fund managers who come to you do not have like a deep experience or a deep track record in investing in private equity. And if you're looking at the large institutional LPs, their mandate will predominantly ask them to find fund managers with track records, right? And there are very few LPs who love to take the bet with emerging fund managers. So that does restrict the pool of capital available. Another thing that I have seen frequently is that in gender balanced teams or in teams with both men and women, women frequently tend to stay a little silent. So if a man is driving the pitch and if a man is making the presentation, any investor will by default ask the questions to the same man. It would be very odd to have one person make the presentation and you pose the question to another person just because the other person is a woman. That is another very practical thing. But I think if we look forward, what I think is the writing on the wall, and this is what I'm hearing from large global institutional investors, is that gender diversity is increasingly going to be a big part of the conversation during due diligence. So in fact, we actually might move to the other end of the spectrum, where having a woman on the team or being a woman fund manager could become a plus, because there is a recognition that there has been an unconscious bias at play. And we all need to make a conscious effort to get beyond that bias. And therefore, the conversation is now going to consciously start delving into aspects of gender diversity. And that's going to become a positive for.
Right. I get that, Nupur. And unconscious bias is something which you very rightly pointed out. Anisha, you are currently running a fund. You have been an entrepreneur. Tell us about any such incident wherein you think there was a bias, perhaps an unconscious bias, and you weren't quite comfortable with the situation.
You know, it comes back to unconscious bias. I actually do want to call it out. I think there is bias. Okay, studies have shown it. Everything has shown it. Whether we want to call a spade is a different thing and say, you know, it's there. I think a lot of the factors come to what Nupur said, you know, emerging fund managers don't have enough experience when they're doing it, especially when it comes to gender funds like mine, things like that. But you're seeing this happen for, you know, founders also and funders also, right? It's everywhere. On the founding side, you know, I mean, I started raising for Maidala when I was 6 months pregnant. And at that point, you were so, you know, a horse with blinders on that you didn't really care about the bias that was coming through. I had been told that I was, I didn't know till then that there was such a thing as too pregnant to raise money or too pregnant to be funded. And I learned that term then, that there were levels of pregnancy. You see that now, you know, when you go out and you're raising for a gender fund, it's a very specific fund to be raising for, right? You get to hear it all the time. Are they, you know, are women good business? Things like that. So I really do think, you know, just because we travel in a car and didn't experience eve teasing does not mean that it does not exist. We should look to the larger masses and say, and if you do want to have the change at a larger, you know, ecosystem point of view, then we have to start looking at things in a larger picture, that there is bias. There are things that exist that we do need to change. And the only way founders to get more funding is to have more funders that are female oriented.
Right.
If you want that in the women's space.
Absolutely. Alka, I'll come to you now. You know, while we have seen that unconscious bias has been there and has been existing for quite some time now, have you ever experienced mansplaining in a board meeting as well?
I've always been surrounded by men in the work and profession that I have done.
That's because there are not enough number of women, or is there more to it?
Yes, because there are not enough, number of women. And the causality of that can be questioned, right? Why are there not enough women? However, mansplaining, I think it's sometimes what I have felt is the other way around. You know, Nupur alluded to the fact that sometimes women don't speak. I have never had that problem. I'm quite vocal. And that goes back to the double bind of leadership. If you don't speak, you become a wallflower. If you speak, you are aggressive. And what would typically be associated with leadership traits with men, that he's a good leader. In the case of women, become, hey, she's too loud, or she's aggressive, or she hustles, almost in a negative tone. So I don't think about mansplaining per se, but sometimes, and I try and really focus on, as I said, my credibility and my experience. And I believe I tend to prepare harder for the meetings. So I don't think it's about mansplaining. It is a little bit about, you might feel intimidated because there are 30 men and you sitting in a meeting sometimes.
Right.
So you just have to be vocal. And frankly, I think not worry so much about the reputation that you might be developing. That's okay, right? Focus on your strengths. That's the way I look at it.
Right. Nupur, I'll come to you. You know, Alka has very beautifully pointed it out, how women also get intimidated. Like if there's a boardroom full of 30 men and there are perhaps one or two women, there's some level of perhaps insecurity that comes from within, or the urge to go a step further and, you know, prove herself, be vocal, get noticed, talk facts. But at the same time, two questions I have for you. It's 2021. Why do we still not have enough women, like not even a healthy 30% participation across fields? And the second question, why do you think there is this discrimination, if I could say that, and how to address that?
Priyanka, unfortunately, I don't think it is a very simple answer. I think the root behind all of this problem, it's very deep. It goes back ages. It's a very complex issue. So, you know, if you're looking at the workplace, if you think about it, the workplace was designed like 100 years back, and it was designed by men, and it was designed for men, and it has never been changed. Yes, we bring in those things for a brief period of time when we say, oh, if you have a woman who's a young mother, you need to have like a nursing room and stuff like that. And, you know, some organizations think about providing childcare, but in itself, the workplace design hasn't evolved. And that, I think, is a reflection of how the socioeconomic factors haven't evolved. A lot of what we see in the workplace in any industry is a direct reflection of society, right? And if you look at what goes on when girls are being brought up, what goes on when girls are trying to choose which field they want to go in, we still don't have equal number of men and women, say in engineering or in STEM, right? We still don't have equal number of men and women in management schools. So it all starts pretty early on and it just continues. And a lot of these factors are what convert into biases, and especially unconscious biases. And let me be honest, I have gone through an unconscious bias training and it turns out I had unconscious biases as well. I have tried to work on them, but the fact is I grew up in the same way as everybody else. So nobody can escape those biases. And those then translate into how we evaluate candidates, how we sort of think about the skill spectrum. And, you know, I'll give you this one example. I was talking to a fund manager, which has a number of these very dynamic young women trying to lead it to the next level. And they said a very basic thing. They said, we have stopped hiring for technical skills. What we realized was we want people who can work with our entrepreneurs, who can work with our founders, which means we need people with higher EQ. And as soon as we started hiring for softer skills, assuming that technical skills in any case have to be a given, right? So you don't compromise on the base technical skill, but then you layer on the softer skills that you need for the work that you need to get done. And you sort of take a bigger and a more holistic view to what are the skills you want to develop in your team. They have just been hiring women left, right, and center because EQ is something that women tend to be higher on. So, you know, people can change the way they do things, but that consciousness will take a much longer time to come through.
Let me be a little upfront with you, Nupur. At the end of the day, it's all about business. I mean, you know, do we really need to be empathetic about a gender just to ensure their inclusion? Or do you think that's the way to go about?
Maybe I can take that. Yes, we do need to be empathetic. The schools and colleges are churning out large number of women. As we've seen, there's been a lot of progress at the school and college level. Then why are we wasting talent? Why are we not utilizing the full potential that exists out there? And if it means in any way creating opportunities for women, absolutely, that should be done. Now, of course, once you've joined an organization, I do believe merit comes in without a doubt. You may create opportunities, but ultimately we live in a meritorious system as well. You might be conscious towards providing certain kind of training or customized training, depending on the individual, not just gender, that, hey, this person needs more technical skills, this person needs more softer skills, this person needs much more financial modeling skills, whatever it is, right? It's customized to the person in your firm as opposed to a plain vanilla approach. But I absolutely think we should create opportunities for women. It'll be a human tragedy if we don't. But at the same time, once you've got an organization, then it's a level playing field, irrespective of any kind of sort of segmentation, gender being one. And people can be mentored and apprenticed in a customized way.
Okay. So I'll come to you, Sushma, on this. You know, very rightly, Alka has pointed out that there need not be an entry to barrier. First of all, you let people in. And thereafter, you talk about equality and, you know, not giving preferential treatment or whatever. So the first barrier is that so many people, so many women, let me be specific, do not get that opportunity. And thereafter, it's like a image of the society, like Nupur pointed out. So my question to you, Sushma, is how do you think fund managers or investment firms should include and ensure more and more women at senior positions?
So I think, Priyanka, that's a very, very relevant question that you are posing. And especially all of us here as leaders have a very important role. So I just very quickly talk of how investments or the how the investment ecosystem function to fund managers, and you know, we get close to 20-30 deals a week. So that's the kind of engagement we have with entrepreneurs, or even 100 male entrepreneurs. Probably one woman writes to me saying, you know, I want to share my something that I'm working on. Are you free to speak? And there is a lot of discomfort, you know, for them to come out and speak, and especially to reach out. So I find that women tend to be slightly slightly under-networked, slightly more underconfident, probably because about things. And that is why, you know, there should be focus on fund managers to expand their senior leadership team, to encourage more women in the larger ecosystem to reach out to the fund managers also.
You know, you very rightly pointed out something which reminds me of our conversation, Nupur. If you'd remember, we last week had this conversation wherein you were telling me how women in India, conventionally in our societies, we've not been allowed to remain outside without guardian, maybe after 10:30 in the night. If we are going out for drinks, we always have to keep our parents informed till the time women are not married. And after they are, they need to keep maybe, you know, their partners informed that this is where I am for the security purposes. Forget about the other societal drawbacks. Especially for the security purposes also, we really need to keep four people in the loop that this is where I am and this is what time I'll come back. Anisha, I'll ask this question to you. There's so much of societal overbearing that women have faced over a period of time. Do you think it gives men an edge because they have never faced these stigmas? They've been out in the open. They've met people the moment they want to. They have always been able to network. If a woman goes out and tries to talk to somebody, there's a chance. And I'm saying this at the risk of sounding maybe, impractical. There have been instances wherein a woman is taken for granted if she goes out and cracks a joke just to assemble in that group. Would you agree with me if I were to say that that has also resulted in women having lesser or less stronger network as compared to their men counterparts?
It's a factor of a lot of things, right? It is that, but there's other stuff. That there weren't enough of us out there. And when there were, initially, so I'll give you 2009, there were a handful of us in the startup environment that existed in the internet space. And that has changed drastically. I mean, you know, you talk about female founders that know exactly what they're doing and the terms that they want on their SHA. That has completely and drastically changed. But that's because there's more happening around this. I think COVID's changed the way people network anyway. So it's added, I think, positively to the way at least female founders, can network and talk about. But, you know, when there's only a handful of us, right, you will get that, right? You will be probably the only person that is out there, you know, at a conference or at a networking event. But that's all changing. I mean, you know, you look at the startup environment from 2007, 2009 to now, there are so many, and just in general, the space, just in general, there are so many more women. So I actually am really optimistic about where we are as an ecosystem and where it's getting built, because you're seeing, at least on the founder side, and I laugh about this and I say, you know, women in VC is where founders in startups were in 2009. There are a handful of us that are out there, but that environment's completely changed. If you look at it right now, the startup ecosystem has leapfrogged and I think is one of the few places where the gender gap will get closed. There is, I think, no mansplaining that happens there. People are absolutely respectful of, you know, what the other person's saying, instances there are. So similarly, I think that's going to happen in the VC world.
I think you rightly pointed out that COVID has somehow been maybe an opportunity in the current situation, given that all of us, irrespective of whether you're a man or a woman, you were not supposed to step out. You're supposed to stick to Zoom calls. You're supposed to maybe, you know, stick to calls, network calls. So it some way gave a level playing field to everyone out there. Alka, would you like to take this question? My question to you here is that as we speak, to what extent work from home helped women in general and women partners to speed up their game?
I mean, I have a personal story right here. I delivered a baby boy during the pandemic.
Many
I didn't have to. Thank you. And frankly, what would have been a very, it's hard to imagine trying to take, because our work involves meeting a lot of people, taking flights.
I didn't have to do that, right? And it became sort of a norm. You meet only when necessary, as opposed to 10 meetings with the same person for 3 hours. So I was able to avoid all of that and still deliver a baby boy and still not sort of get limited, have any disadvantage to my work. Personally, I think this acceptance of the fact that you can work very effectively from home, I think will be a big boon for women, not just in the VCPE system, but across the talent market. So I'm very hopeful. I'm very positive. COVID has taught us to actually challenge what was initially sacred and sacrosanct. So frankly, I think it's a good thing.
That's quite a beautiful anecdote that you've shared with us. And, you know, I'll also like to ask Nupur. Nupur, why don't you add to this? You've been an LP. You've worked so closely with most of the fund managers, a bunch of entrepreneurs. What, in your opinion, has COVID done to this sector?
Thanks, Priyanka. I think specifically for this sector, the one thing that COVID done is to highlight the fact that business can be done without having to travel and having to network over drinks. And that I think is a big realization for a lot of people who thought that this industry and this profession was, you know, quote unquote, not appropriate for women because it required a huge amount of travel, you know, deals get done over drinks, et cetera, et cetera. But if we sort of look at the big picture, and I was actually this morning going through some data that came out at the WinPE anniversary event last week. It's quite fascinating. Women make 39% of global employment, but they are shouldering 54% of all job losses because women shoulder an, you know, unfair burden of sort of the work at home and the family responsibility, that whole balance. In markets like India, in developing markets, women are 23% less likely to own a mobile phone and 51% less likely to use mobile internet for their transactions, right? So it's their ability to leverage technology and continue participating in the economy, which seems to be exceedingly challenged in the current environment. But that is on at a broader level. One thing about this industry is we are dealing with a certain category of men and women. And for this category of men and women, I think the test has been, and this is something a lot of senior women keep giving as an advice to younger women, that one of the most important decisions you'll make in your life is your choice of partner, right? And I think that has been tested as both men and women have started working from home and balancing.
Right. Anisha, would you like to add to that? I mean, do you really think that deals getting done over drinks has not been a comfortable zone to be in? And now with COVID, it's getting sorted out to some extent. You know, Nupur just pointed out that there have been instances wherein, you know, this industry was considered to be quote unquote difficult because women, a lot of people would think, would not like to travel, would not like to have late night meetings, would not be very comfortable sitting with a bunch of men having drinks late night. So do you think, first of all, that was an issue to begin with? And do you think thereafter, COVID, since, you know, it has completely eradicated the opportunity for everyone to step out, has brought a level playing field to women like that?
It has, right? I mean, I started by saying that COVID's changed the way people network now. That being said, as investors, I think you still want to see, and there is some joy to being able to meet a founder face to face because the passion comes through, which doesn't. And I think it's true for VCs meeting the LPs as well. I think just face to face replaced over Zoom is just it waters down. That being said, I do believe that COVID has escalated. You do about 5 or 10 meetings on Zoom, and then you can do one face-to-face, which makes it really easier, much easier for women because it's less travel. So if you know you're not looking to travel and you're not looking to network, that you've broken past and you're able to do. But I do think face-to-face meetings still have to happen. Networking, not so, and that's fine, you know.
Okay. Sushma, I'll come to you next. I just want to understand that to what extent can gender diversity help create better financial returns for both investors as well as the startups they invest in?
Sure, Priyanka. So for any investor, and I keep gender aside for a moment, some of the biases play a very determining factor while making investments. And for investors, it's very important to consciously be aware of these biases and try and work around those, something that even Nupur alluded to. And so, you know, one way to fix that problem is to have a more diverse team so that new perspectives are heard. And something that we have noticed, so even within Avishkar Capital, we have almost 50% of our team are women at all levels. And 25% are decision makers at the IC level as well, are women. So what we have noticed is that sometimes the perspectives that come out from a more diverse team is something that other counterparts probably have completely missed because that's not how they are wired. And hence the importance of the diversity within teams. And I will elaborate diversity saying it should not be an all-woman team and not an all-male team. It has to be the right mix of teams. And I'm quite happy to say that, you know, at least I have a 4-5 year data within Avishkar Capital to confirm that a well-balanced team has a better return profile. So one of the fund where we have a good mix of men and women have shown that it is in the top quartile of fund performance. So I only have data for my fund, so I can speak for that, that a good mix of team has actually resulted in something like that.
Coming to what globally the entrepreneurship ecosystem has seen, companies such as Bumble have really elevated women as a gender to a much, much larger platform. The success women investors and women entrepreneurs have had is completely not seen before. Do you think such global stories also give a fillip to the way women entrepreneurs and fund managers were seen in India for all these years? Nupur, why don't you take this question?
Sure, Priyanka. I think India has its own success stories, right? We have some very, very fabulous women-led businesses and female entrepreneurs who are really creating the path for change. I think the importance of these instances and these examples is in just creating role models, which is one of the most powerful ways, I think, of inspiring the next generation. Because, you know, the panel has referred to this challenge a number of times. Alka brought it up, Anisha brought it up. There just aren't enough women out there. And sometimes that gets into one of those vicious cycles, right? I mean, oh, there aren't enough women out there. Maybe this is not something that women can do. This is a boys' club, right? How we can, et cetera. But the moment you start to showcase a lot of successful women, and the moment you start to notice that women are sort of breaking these glass ceilings and paving their own way, it becomes a wonderful motivator for the next lot to say, yeah, I can do that too. And that is definitely changing. And I think with how investors are beginning to think about working with women entrepreneurs and women-led teams, the combination is going to, I think, accelerate the pace of this change going forward.
All right, absolutely. And on that note, since we are running short of time, I'll quickly ask one last question and I'll come to each of the panelists one by one. This report that I quoted in the beginning of the conversation, which states that PE and VC funds with gender balanced senior management teams, and Nupur, like you, rightly pointed out, you need not have more women and less men or vice versa. You need to have a gender balanced team. It says that such teams generated about 10 to 20% higher returns as compared with funds that have majority of male or female leaders. Can you substantiate this for us, Nupur?
I think, Priyanka, the data speaks for itself. And if you go back to the IFC report, the data set was pretty huge, right? 700 funds, 8,000 portfolio companies. And if you just take a step back, it's quite intuitive, and Sushma referred to it. It's about bringing a diverse set of perspectives, and it's about examining sort of the same topic or the same investment thesis, so as to speak, from many different angles. And I think some of the investors have also started attributing this to the fact that women as consumers are more empowered and participating to a greater extent in decision making than they ever did. And that, I think, is adding another tailwind when investors start to think about, you know, the requirement of diversity. Now, I personally think that it is common sense. Women are 50% of the talent pool out there. And if you can't tap into that 50% talent pool, then you're really missing out on a huge opportunity to do your business much better. But we have data there, and I think nothing speaks more strongly than data does.
Right. I'll come to you, Sushma, back to you. Can you substantiate and can you elaborate on these data points?
So absolutely, Priyank. You know, one major leading geography or economy where women participation is high is China. So let's look at how they are performing. Chinese women in general, while they are 50% of the workforce, they also contribute to the share of wallet in their spending patterns as well.
Right.
And if you look at all the consumer investments that have happened in China, most of the investing teams have women in the decision-making role because it's very intuitive to understand, you know, where this whole thing is headed. However, if you look at India, while the share of wallet or the contribution to the wallet is lesser in a country like India, there are many opportunities that get missed. Something like a Nykaa, so to speak, is not intuitive for men to understand that, oh, why will women buy a lipstick online, right? Okay. It requires a woman to be at the decision-making position to say, yes, I do see such a trend evolving, and I do believe this will open up a large opportunity. And that is where things are headed, and that's going to make a big difference going forward. So I concur with Anisha where she says that, you know, we will see a lot of women entrepreneurs, and we will also see a lot of fund managers who will be women.
Anisha, why don't you take it forward? In the last year or so since you've been running your fund, how have you seen the ecosystem change towards you as compared to when you were an entrepreneur?
As far as the startup ecosystem is concerned, I think, and even the VC ecosystem, I've gotten nothing but warmth about around a fund that is gender focused. There were naysayers that wondered if it was a quota system because we started something that would only do women-focused ventures. Yes. And invest in women-focused ventures. However, that being said, people realize now that it's a merit at the end of the day. And it's been heartening, the response that we've gotten from the startup ecosystem as well as the VC community that has been cheering on a fund like this. Just because a lot of these now exist globally. In the US, you see a lot of women-focused funds that have come about that have already led and created a lot of unicorns that are coming about now, female-led unicorns. Right. And so I'm hoping that we are kind of the cheerleaders here for the next batch of female-led unicorns that come through.
Absolutely. That sounds quite interesting. You are in a position which very strongly advocates for promoting women entrepreneurs, or women in general in the startup ecosystem. And on that note, I would come to you, Alka, talking about the numbers we just spoke. How gender balanced senior investment teams help a fund create better returns as compared to funds that have majority or male or female leaders? Can you substantiate this data point for us?
I mean, my view is PVC is a very young industry in India. In all seriousness, while you had few funds come in 2004, before 2005-6, really it started in 2009 or 10, right? In all seriousness. And it is a 7 to 10 year cycle for real sort of statistically significant data to be out. Right. Mm-hmm. But I do believe if the input metrics are right, the output metrics will fall into place. We are already seeing it in mature VCPE ecosystems, as someone mentioned China, someone mentioned US, and India will have its fair share. As again, on this panel itself, there are two fund managers who started within last 2 years. Then Sushma has been there only for 4 or 5 years. So it will take some time. It goes back to 2 or 3 things. One is, of course, having supportive LPs who are willing to be patient. And I've been fortunate enough to have that. Having women on this panel and beyond support each other. And I think the third thing is this diversity of views that we've talked about, right? The more vantage points you have looking at a problem, you will find solutions. And therefore, the assumption is, and the hypothesis is, it'll lead to better returns. I think we still have to see the statistical significant part of it in the PE-VC ecosystem. I think in many industries, it has been panned and substantiated by data. So again, the leading indicators are positive. There's a lot of enthusiasm. There are many supportive LPs out there. The startup ecosystem is responsive. And if you've got all the right ingredients, the dish has to turn out to be delicious.
So the leading indicators are positive and change is very much in the air. It's only about time that we see some big and mega developments that will also start to reflect itself in the industry. And we expect that that should happen sooner than later. So on that note, I would really like to thank you, all of you, for taking time out for us.
Thank you, Priyanka. Thank you for having me.
Thanks.
Thank you. It was fun.
Thank you, Priyanka. Great panel.
So that's all that we have for this episode of Setting Sail. Meanwhile, if you have any comments or queries, you can write down to us. Our email is mcpodcast@nw18.com. You can also follow us on Twitter with our user IDs @moneycontrol.com and @PriyankaSahai. Till then, for more news, views and updates, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.